Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show here on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a good weekend. We've got some big news stories to get to. A synagogue targeted in Colleyville, Texas by an Islamic radical over the weekend. A hostage standoff. The FBI said something bizarre in the immediate aftermath of it. We'll break that one down for you. Plus, some new polling out of Rasmussen that suggests your lib neighbor or friend or colleague may have even more extreme views about what should be done to you if you refuse the vaccine than you had ever anticipated. We're talking about taking away your freedom, taking away your job, obviously, taking away your kids, maybe. It's stunning, the percentages. We'll break down those numbers for you in just a little bit. But we want to start with actually some really encouraging news. Clay and I covered the incredible win of governor, now governor, just sworn in, just taken the office, Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. Now, Virginia is a state that had been trending very blue in recent years. And Youngkin had a big win over Terry McAuliffe. Well, he's come into office and he's come in swinging right away. You have on his first day, he has ended the state mask mandate for public schools, ended the COVID vaccine mandate for state workers, banned critical race theory from the classroom, and he is setting himself up to be right away following up on the promise, the initial promise of his campaign, which had to do with parents' rights in education and a more sane view of governance in the state of Virginia overall. Here he is on making sure that parents' rights are protected.
The fact that that tweet came out from Arlington County within minutes of my executive order, well, what that tells me is they haven't listened to parents yet. And if there's one thing that hopefully everybody heard in November, is it is time to listen to parents. So over the course of this week, I hope they will listen to parents, because we will use every resource within the governor's authority to explore what we can do and will do in order to make sure that parents' rights are protected.
So, Clay, you and I both have the experience, kind of funny, actually, because you're a Nashville guy, I'm a New York City guy, of spending considerable time in our nation's capital.
That's right.
And Arlington, Virginia, is really just an adjunct or an annex of Washington, D.C. It is very blue. A lot of there's actually some very, very wealthy counties there per capita. And tends to be a Democrat stronghold. As soon as the governor comes in and says there's no more mask mandate in schools, Arlington puts out a tweet saying, well, we're not going to go along with that. I mean, I think this is so interesting. The noncompliance, when libs are in power with this stuff, it's we have the power to do it. The moment they lose the power, it's we're going to do it anyway. But Youngkin saying the parents are the ones I'm representing here.
Well, and I just want to emphasize again how much of a ridiculous battle this is. If you want your kid in an N95 mask, if you want your kid triple masked up, you have the right to do that as a parent. What all of these Republican governors are saying is, we're just not going to allow the mandate to continue to exist. And I saw this as soon as the news came out that he had been inaugurated, these first actions. We should also mention, by the way, that his top advisor now on COVID is Dr. Marty Makary, who has been on this show a great number of times and has given consistently fantastic advice as it pertains to what children should be doing, in particular with COVID. And Buck, this probably won't surprise you, but as soon as that happened in the Washington Post, the headline, did you see this headline? The Washington Post, governor-elect, this was right before he was signed in, Glenn Youngkin has named a respected physician who opposes blanket vaccine mandates and downplayed the threat of the coronavirus to children as his head advisor on pandemic response. Now, that's the Washington Post headline, downplayed the threat of coronavirus to children. Did he downplay the threat, Buck, or did he accurately share data on what was going on with children and COVID? Because this, to me, is evidence of how unfair the media can be. This is not an opinion piece, right? If somebody at the Washington Post wanted to write an opinion piece, and I'm sure they will, Glenn Youngkin is endangering children everywhere by ending the mask mandate and hiring Dr. Marty Makary to be his new advisor on COVID-related issues. That's an opinion piece. I disagree with it. You disagree with it. Many of the people out there in our audience disagree, and probably the majority of Virginia voters who put Glenn Youngkin into office would disagree with it. But that's their right as an opinion piece. What happens is this gets disguised as news, as if his opinions on COVID and children are somehow downplaying. He's just shared the actual data. You're not downplaying anything when you share the legitimate data when it comes to kids and COVID. And so I give credit to Glenn Youngkin for coming out, making that decision to hire McCary. Latipo, by the way, also a fantastic hire that Ron DeSantis has made as the Florida Surgeon General. These are guys that are incredibly well-educated, that are at the very peak of the intellectual rigor that you would want for a doctor and scientist advising policy to represent. And yet they immediately get attacked. But I love elections, as Obama said, have consequences. And if I'm in Virginia right now, I'm loving the immediate actions that have been undertaken by Glenn Youngkin.
The fact that he comes in as well and bans by executive order CRT teaching in the classroom. Fascinating to watch so many of the libs running around saying there's no CRT in schools. And then when you say, well, we're going to ban the teaching of CRT in schools, they completely freak out. So it can't be both of these things. It can't be. They can't have it both ways. Here he is just saying, the new governor of Virginia, we're going to remove this kind of politics from the classroom.
Starting today, we will raise standards. We will raise teacher pay. We will invest in facilities. We will invest in children with disabilities. We will remove politics from the classroom and refocus on essential. Yes, we will remove politics from the classroom. And we will focus on essential math and science and reading. And we will teach all of our history, the good and the bad.
Isn't it fascinating, Clay, that when he says things like we will focus on teaching math and English, you know that the national teachers unions and a lot of the, you know, education a lot of the education commissars out there bristle at that. That somehow they get upset about a refocusing on what schools are really supposed to be doing in the first place, because they've recognized and they've used for a long time the schools as indoctrination factories. They're teaching kids to think about the world, particularly about America, a certain way. And so all you have to do is see their response to someone saying, let's focus on the actual nuts and bolts of an education and a lot less on teaching, whether it's critical race theory or some other form of left-wing indoctrination in the schools. You can always tell who's effective by how much the left hates him. The left is really starting to hate Glenn Youngkin, which is a great sign.
Well, and also I think it's hard for them to attack him. And this is, I think, a representative sample of what Republicans can take as we move into the 2022 midterm. I saw data point out there. I'm sure you did too, Buck. Gallup does a regular poll on which party is favored in the moments going on right now. Every quarter, they have a constantly running poll. Republicans have moved to +5, which is the highest level Republicans have been nationwide since 1994, effectively, in terms of the national response and what people are saying. And I think Glenn Youngkin-like candidates are incredibly difficult to attack because, one, Glenn Youngkin is very smart. Two, he is primarily a business and data-based guy. He's going to look at the facts, make a rational analysis of the facts, and come up with a policy that fits those facts. And what Democrats have failed to recognize is they've basically, while they're trying to wrap themselves and say we're the party of science, they basically have become a party that is very anti-facts. Whenever facts are uncomfortable for Democrats, you know what they do? They immediately call the person who is sharing those facts a racist, a sexist, a homophobe. That's their only attack. They don't engage in intellectual debate anymore. The Democratic Party has become very much of a leap of faith party. And so when you have Glenn Youngkin and he's laying out these basic facts here and he hires Dr. Marty McCary, who's going to help him analyze those facts, the way that Republicans are sort of putting Democrats into a tough spot is they're making Democrats just go back to the old tried and true attacks of everything is racist. and it doesn't land on guys like these who are hyper-rational. I think those punches are becoming weaker. As we talked about last week, that boy who cried wolf, everything is racist angle. Eventually, people stop turning, just like in the old children's story. Even when the wolf shows up, people won't recognize it anymore. Democrats have so overplayed their hand, they don't even really know what to do. And I think you're seeing that with the voting rights bill in national Buck as well, which was supposed to, remember the deadline that Schumer put in place was today, Buck. He was saying we have to have this done by Martin Luther King Day, and now he's bumped it to later in the week. They're going to lose, and that story is not working.
Jen Psaki responded to the Governor Youngkin order on masks. Remember, they always frame this as like a ban on masks. That's not what
that's
it
right.
is. It's you don't have to wear a mask as a child. And by the way, that would have been far more acceptable to me all along. If people want to wear masks, that's one thing. If you want to be on a plane, masking up between bites like an idiot, that's up to you. But the fact that I have to do it, too, is the objectionable
right.
part. The fact that people who have reasonable emotional health and rational ability to think through things, we shouldn't be forced to cater to the neuroses of libs who watch too much MSNBC. And Jen Psaki here responds to responds to Youngkin's order with, and this is the White House press secretary, everybody, we all know that. Hi there, Arlington County parent here. Don't believe you are Glenn Youngkin, but correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you for Arlington County Public School, Virginia, for standing up for our kids, teachers, and administrators and their safety in the midst of a transmissible variant. First of all the variants are transmissible.
Yes.
So what the heck is that supposed to mean? And everyone needs to understand this is in the context of the big push now has become N95 masks and double masking for kids in schools. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually tried to wear an N95 mask for long periods of time. Even medical personnel will tell you it's really uncomfortable. It's harder to breathe through. It's heavier on your face. This is crazy. But this is now where they're going because they've had to admit that the cloth masks do not stop the spread of the Omicron infection in any meaningful way. And so Jen Psaki is one of these parents who wants your kid, if you live in Virginia, I know a lot of you don't live in Virginia, most of you don't, but if you do live in Virginia, she wants your kids to have to wear an N95 mask now in school. That's where we are, Clay. It's gotten pretty insane.
Well, and again, the science doesn't support it in any way. I think we need to talk about that a bit more because Jen Psaki has tried to lean on her fact of being a parent as evidence of why everybody should have to make the same choice that she makes. Why is that true at all? I think we need to continue to emphasize the fact that this is not a parental mandate that you can't wear a mask. If you're terrified, have your kid wear a mask. If you're not, you shouldn't be forcing it. In the meantime, finding a job in this crazy economy, as if it isn't frustrating enough, now there are reports of at least 36,000 fake job listings in the U.S. designed to fool you into sharing driver's license info, social security numbers, and more. Classic move on the part of smart cyber hackers capitalizing on a crazy job market to try to get you to give up important information. That's why you need to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting yours and our lives. Every day, our info is at risk on the internet. In an instant, a cyber criminal can steal what's yours, sometimes even harm your finances, your credit, your reputation. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information's been compromised, they send you an alert via text, email, or phone call. You choose. Buck, how do you get signed up and help protect your information online?
And look, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save 25% off your first year by using promo code BUCK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. Again, that's 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code BUCK.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your week. If you are off today for MLK Day, we hope you are also having a fantastic day there, chasing whatever ambitions you might be pursuing today. Wanted to play this cut, too, because there's a lot of discussion about how exactly the Republican Party in 2022 should balance their relationship with Donald Trump. And this is, maybe we'll get into at the top of the next hour, Buck, the discussion. They're trying to create some conflict, the media is, between Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, and Donald Trump, who also is in Florida right now. I'll talk about why I think that's going on. We can discuss that at the top of the second hour. But first, Glenn Youngkin talked about keeping Trump while also embracing his policies. The great big bear hug, he said. Listen to this.
What we did in Virginia over the last year was give everyone a great big bear hug. We, in fact, embraced all Virginians. And I've said before that I so deeply appreciated President Trump's support. We brought together a coalition of folks that had never been in the room together. Forever Trumpers and never Trumpers, yeah. Moderates, Democrats. We campaigned places that Republicans have historically not campaigned, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. resulted in record vote levels in all minority communities. What we demonstrated is that this is about bringing people together.
I think it's a fantastic answer, Buck, for everybody out there who's a Republican politician that's being asked, because they're going to keep saying January 6th and the 2020 election, and keep trying to drag you into the past as 2022 gets closer and closer. I think Glenn Youngkin nailed it and showed every Republican statewide, but also congressional candidate, how you embrace what Donald Trump represents while simultaneously trying to go out in your individual districts or states and grow the overall brand of the Republican Party.
I also think, Clay, that as we look forward not only to the midterm elections, but to the presidential election a few years from now, the best thing that a lot of these Republicans can do that are governors is show how much better governance is in states like Florida and now in Virginia than what you've seen in the blue lockdown madness epicenters out there, right? New York and California have been miserable, psychotic, neurotic places to live for going on 2 years now. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, and now Virginia are going to be places that people can look at and say, hold on a second, there was a better way. That governance, as you said, elections matter. It is the best thing or the most memorable thing I think Obama ever said. Elections have consequences. They do. And they're going to have real consequences in the state of Virginia as well. And I like that he doesn't waste any time, that Youngkin isn't wasting any time. He comes right in, just like DeSantis did, by the way, and starts going right after the issues that he ran on and is holding the line on it so far. So it's early, but all indicators are good. You know, there's some movement from the attorney general of the state of Virginia, too, that I wanted to get to.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I love that they were lined up and ready to go as soon as they took office to deliver on the promises that they made to people all over Virginia. It was a monster win, but sometimes people win and they don't actually follow through, as all of us out there listening know, on much of what they promise. That's one of the big issues with politicians today, is that trust factor. Glenn Youngkin immediately delivered, and so did his attorney general and his lieutenant governor.
I got started off the same way as I do every day today, with a cup of Black Rifle coffee. This is a veteran-owned coffee company that serves premium coffee to people who love America. You're going to love the taste of it. And everybody working at Black Rifle is on the same mission: roast and deliver the best coffee beans and ground coffee, period. They are absolutely dedicated to this. They also help out with a lot of veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes. The best way to enjoy your Black Rifle coffee is to join the coffee club, where you'll get special discounted prices on roasts and get exclusive products and member-only content, as well as partner discounts. Have it all shipped to your door, friends. This is all done online. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use code CLAYANDBUCK at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com. Use our names, Clay and Buck, for that 20% discount. Go check it out today. Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. How do we clean up the streets of America? How do we get crime to start trending again in the right direction? For decades, America was becoming, especially when it came to violent crime, a safer place. That turned around about, 18 months ago now? More than that, almost 2 years ago. And very much coincided with the rise of the BLM movement and the Democrat Progressive Prosecutor Project, Soros-backed prosecutors in major cities across the country who think that, you know, why punish criminals? It's society's fault. That's not the criminal's fault. This was a fallacy that unfortunately, became fashionable among leftists in power in the 60s and 70s, and the country suffered as a result. We're back to that fallacy again, and we have to fight back against it. And I'm happy to see that in Virginia, again, Virginia racking up some wins early on here with its new government, new lieutenant governor, new governor, obviously, and now also new state attorney general, Jason Mijares, who came right in. And this is a lesson that Republicans need to learn in general. You cannot leave ideologically motivated and very dedicated leftists in positions of power within the bureaucracy. You can't let them burrow deep in and become a deep state, or else they will hobble your agenda. I mean, they will actually undermine you. This happened to Trump when he was president. They should have had, they just didn't. They didn't have personnel ready to go to take over a lot of agencies that they should have. I know they weren't, it was a new team and they weren't politically seasoned in this regard, but they suffered the consequences at some level of having people who were saying they wouldn't actually go forward with the agenda of the administration. They would thwart the will of Trump and the people who elected him. Well, Jason Mijares in Virginia is doing the right thing. Remember, he's replacing Mark Herring, who was, I believe, at one point calling for Ralph Northam to step down for his blackface controversy, the former governor of Virginia. And then Mark Herring had to say, I might also have a blackface controversy. I can't totally remember.
So,
I
mean, that whole story is so funny.
Isn't it
so
crazy?
Ridiculous? And they had the lieutenant governor who was accused of rape by multiple
twice.
Women. So like,
two women. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general who would have been the stair step. That's really why Northam, I think, kept his job, because they were going to have to replace basically the entire lot of them. And then it would have gone, I believe, to a Republican, right?
That's the fourth position.
And so they just decided to hold the wall for Northam, who, by the way, we should mention, Buck, did you see that he gave a pardon to a state senator who had an affair with an underage woman that he ended up marrying?
No, I didn't see that. One of his final
acts in office, Northam gave a pardon to a Democratic senator who had an affair. I don't know if it was an affair or I don't know if he was single or whatever, but anyways, an underage girl working in his office. He later married her and they now have children. But you know, it's not theoretically when you're a grown man, you're not supposed to be sleeping with underage employees. And so he pardoned that.
So here we have Mijares coming in and cleaning house, so to speak, right away. 30 personnel changes. Now, what most notably, the Civil Rights Division, which is always, whether you're in the DOJ at the federal level or if you go to a lot of these states, the Civil Rights Division is where you're going to find basically community organizers with law degrees who are going to do everything they can to try to advance a leftist agenda and use the power of the state to do it, cleared the whole thing out.
That's pretty funny. The whole civil rights, gone.
Says, see you later. It included the Solicitor General, a general, and deputies that served under Herring beforehand. This is the way it has to be. This is a lesson, and it's broader than just what Mijares is doing. And there's one more thing I want to say about his initial statements going into this role as state attorney general. Because, folks, this is about the template, right? This is about if you are in a red state, is your red state doing enough? You know, are you happy with the Republican government that you have? And if you're in a purple state that has been trending or could go red the next time around, here's the playbook. We've said this about Youngkin all along. Find issues that matter to real people, implement them, and govern well. Let the Democrats be the party of crying about climate change all day. Let Republicans be the ones about better schools, safer streets, and a more functional society that's not running around in terror of Fauciism all the time. But I mentioned the crime issue too, Clay. Not only is he changing the personnel, which has to happen. You need people around you can trust in these roles, whether you're an attorney general, a governor, a president. He also has said that he will bring charges. And this was key. And this is why I was thinking of the criminal justice issue. He, Mijares, will bring charges, as he's allowed to under state law, in any districts within Virginia where a likely Soros-backed prosecutor is like, We're going to let that violent crime go. He's like, no, you're not. Not on my watch. That's what we need to hear.
Look, the lineup here in Virginia is, I think, a crystal clear and emblematically representative sample of what Republicans need to run on in 2022. Because we know that already you're going to have, by the summer, there will be a major focus on trying to tear down Republican ideas. And there'll be an attempt. This is what the Democrats are going to try to do. They're going to focus, I believe, on January 6th, and they're going to focus on voting rights, and they're going to try to focus on abortion. And much of that will be backwards looking. I think you win elections by focusing on what's in front of you. And that's what Glenn Youngkin did. And he has provided an incredible template for everybody out there to follow, and his staff. Winsome Sears, first woman, I believe, and certainly the first minority woman to ever be lieutenant governor in the history of Virginia, even though that hasn't gotten very much attention in the mainstream press. Of course, it would be a massive story if this were a Democratic regime. And we talked about the mess that was with Northam and with Fairfax and with Herring, the trio there. The trio that we have seen so far in positions of prominence in Virginia has to make Democrats really, really nervous, because not only did they run on exactly what they were going to do already, Buck, in the first day and a half, 2 days of their administration, they come out and make an incredible and massive statement about what exactly they believe in. Really significant.
We're seeing right away that there can be decisions made that affect people's lives. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, Clay, just that at a broader philosophical level, people had started to think more and more about it's really just the federal government that makes a difference in your life, because there's so much that's been become part of the federal leviathan. But really now COVID has brought home to people that your state government does make a huge difference, often for the negative. Ask anybody who's lived in New York, New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, Illinois the last 2 years, among other places. But it matters to establish at that state level government that is effective, that is sane, that is responsive to the needs of people, that's responsive to data. And then that becomes a part of the narrative overall at the national level of Republicans are trying to govern well. They're trying to make the streets safer. You know, if someone's out there clubbing old ladies over the head with lead pipes, Republicans are the ones who are going to say, you got to go to prison. You're a danger to society and you have to pay the price. Let Democrats be the ones who have, pseudo-intellectual debates about whether or not this is society's fault. And that's why Mayar is coming in right away saying, none of this Soros prosecutor nonsense where we're not going to, what Bragg did in New York City. Notice the difference. Bragg starts in New York City as the new DA. And he's saying armed robbery, not going to go for a criminal sentence on that one. Meares comes in, and not only does he say we're going to send you away for armed robbery, he's like, if any of the district attorneys in this state try to get around that, I'm going to take over their case.
We need to mention, by the way, too, that awful story that happened in the New York City subway that I think is emblematic of the degree of lawlessness that's going on. 40-year-old Asian woman just gets shoved right in front of the subway by a man with severe mental issues. That frankly, it's just a disgrace.
The Democrats in this city, and I will tell you this, in New York City, have largely normalized that you have to walk around people who are clearly, and I don't mean it, clearly insane, screaming yes. profanity at strangers on the street, running out into traffic and yelling insane things and walk. I mean, no person would interact with, and it's all over the place. It's all over the place. It's every time you're on the subway, every time you're walking down the street. And I've dealt with it. I have family members who have dealt with it. And if you bring it up too much, it's, you're not social justice aware enough or something, where you are not solving the problem because you want law enforcement to get involved. Someone who's severely mentally ill, who poses a threat to himself and others, should actually be interacting with the state and getting help before something terrible like this can happen.
It's not just New York, San Francisco, L.A. People listening to us on the coast know exactly what you're talking about, too. Many big cities have allowed this to grow into a larger and larger issue. So many members of our audience right now working with Legacy Box. This is a company making the process of digitizing your age-old family memories on videotape and film really easy. As simple as you receiving one of Legacy Box shipping boxes, an actual Legacy Box you'll fill with video cassettes, Super 8 film reels, old pictures, slides, whatever it is that you want to digitize. For nearly 1.5 million families now, Legacy Box has taken those precious memories on tape and film and hand digitized them. Then they ship those items all back to your home, along with sending you a digital file and a thumb drive so you can view it immediately, share it forever with family and friends. Buck, you've done this. How can our audience get hooked up as well?
Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories. Go to legacybox.com/clay. That's legacybox.com/clay to take advantage of a new exclusive discount for listeners. legacybox.com/clay.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you guys to go subscribe to the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. We want to set another all-time record in January, allowing truth, justice, and maybe most importantly, sanity to continue to prevail in an insane world for all of you out there. And speaking of insanity, Buck, you were just talking about the importance of who you vote for governor. And a lot of people out there now like, hey, who I vote for school board matters in a way that I never would have thought about before in the midst of this COVID monstrosity that will never end. This happened in Australia, where Novak Djokovic lost his appeal and was forced to leave the country because he is unvaccinated, Buck. And I really believe this. We've talked about it a little bit on the show. But if you look at what happened in Canada, and you look at what has happened in Australia, the United States, Canada, and Australia are not that different of countries in the grand scheme of things, and that they overlap to a certain degree in many different areas. The freedom that governors like DeSantis and Greg Abbott and Bill Lee in Tennessee and Kemp down in Georgia, red state governors refusing to be cowed by all of the fear, is why the United States is not like Canada and Australia. Because you've got some data we're going to hit people with as we move throughout this show. The amount of restrictions, and I'm going to talk about what Salt Lake City, the Tribune editorial out there, we got a lot of listeners in Salt Lake City. What would be done to people who are unvaccinated if Democrats had power in this country and were unchecked in that power? Is staggering to think about, because you may be in New York City and you may be in LA listening to us right now, and you may be like, it's been hellish the past couple of years to live in the two biggest cities in America. A lot of people listen in Chicago to this show as well. But my goodness, when I see things like Novak Djokovic being forced to leave the country because he is unvaccinated, even though I believe he's had COVID twice, like I have, Buck, I mean, that's crazy level left-wing authoritarianism that is being embraced in, as you've pointed out, a country of Australia that we tend to think of as pretty laid back and chill.
Yeah, British people with kangaroos and better weather. Not so much. It's much more like East Germany with koalas. This is not what we want to see. It's distressing. And for Djokovic, though, to be in this position is remarkable. As you point out, the guy's had COVID twice. I want to note, we're heading for this now. I kind of want to go on the record, you know, because this is so obvious. They're going to roll out an Omicron-specific vaccine, it seems, in about March. And at that point, how many people will have had Omicron in America? 50%? 60%?
At least.
70%? I mean, how many people will have been exposed? Maybe they had no symptoms, but been exposed, and it's clear that they aren't really at risk anymore. So they're going to make us get the shot after the pandemic has effectively already run its course for Omicron specifically. And then what they've done is just set the stage for, oh, this summer, guess what, everybody? There's going to be another variant, and you're going to get another shot. We can all see where this is going. But what I want to ask them is, how could anyone justify, if you've gotten Omicron, I mean, as you just had.
I just had it last week.
Just had it last week. Someone forcing you to get a shot for Omicron that you've already had is being a lunatic. Okay.
Yes.
You were at very low risk to begin with. You now have antibodies specific to it. They're going to make you get a shot for this. This is crazy. Absolutely bonkers.
I'm now 2-0 against COVID that we know of. I might have had the Delta version of COVID too, who knows, and not even gotten sick enough to even recognize it. For people who missed last week, I got Omicron, was not very sick, one day low-level fever for about half a day, and I had a very light cold, and that was it. And I went and got tested, because some people say, why in the world did you get tested? Because I wanted to know whether or not I had COVID. And by the way, you don't get tested specifically for Omicron, but based on the data reflecting that around 98% of all cases that they are testing for Omicron specifically are Omicron, and on the fact that I already had COVID before, feel quite confident that I got the Omicron version of Delta based on my symptoms and everything else. But yes, you don't get tested specifically for the strain or variant of COVID that you get. But no issues. No issues to speak of. I'm 100% back healthy. Zero over the weekend. Nothing. I stayed in my house for 5 days to try to make sure that I was not out and about. I felt like maybe I was infectious for a couple of days where I didn't feel 100%, and now everything is back to normalcy. There's no way, 0% chance, Buck, that I am getting some vaccine for Omicron when I just had it based on all the evidence and the positive tests that I got.
I mean, one of the happiest days I think that I believe is coming, and I think Fauci will retire if a Republican wins, but he won't give them this. But that guy needs to get fired so badly. I don't even know what to say. I mean,
that would be amazing.
It needs to happen. It won't happen while there's a Democrat in office because they've tied themselves to this vile little bureaucrat. But, you know, nonetheless, we're seeing the policies not make any sense. So, Clay, next hour, we've got a couple of big things. I know you want to get into some of the media trying to create a bit of a DeSantis-Trump rift. Let's not fall for it, folks. No GOP civil war allowed. Thank you very much. But also,
we'll come back for that, yeah.
And we've got the synagogue hostage situation. It's over, but the synagogue hostage situation from over the weekend, the way the FBI reacted to it. We'll get into that next hour.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.